At age 98, when most of life's big surprises are usually behind you, D-Day veteran Ray Lambert has become an author. Not that there was any question, he has a heck of a story to tell. Lambert, who lives near Southern Pines, grew up in Alabama during the Great Depression. His father was injured in a sawmill accident, so Lambert dropped out of school at age 14 and began working, cutting timber and working on a river dredge. In 1940, he enlisted in the Army, though the pay was just a pittance, and war loomed.
I told him I wanted to get in a fighting unit. I don't know how stupid that was. But, I mean, at that age, you know, all we knew about, you know, you're going to be a tough guy, you're going to be in the Army and fight.
Lambert had no idea just how much fighting that would get him into. First, the invasion of North Africa in 1943, where he was wounded and won the Silver Star for bravery. In Sicily, he was wounded again. Then, in 1944, as a 24-year-old staff sergeant leading a unit of medics, he was sent to England to board a transport ship for his third invasion, D-Day.
Within steel and concrete emplacements, 4 years in the making, the Germans have amassed every known weapon of defense. Whether those weapons are enough to stop the Allied onslaught will be proven in the struggle that lies ahead.
Just minutes before heading ashore in the first wave of troops, he got an unexpected surprise.
I went up on deck, and that's the first time that I saw my brother on that boat.
His older brother, Bill, was also a medic. They greeted each other soberly.
We had been through both the other two invasions, and I was wounded in Africa, and he was wounded in Africa, and then I was wounded again in Sicily, and he was.
So these combat-seasoned brothers had as much sense as anyone of how bad this battle was going to be.
My brother and I talked about our chances and kind of agreed that if one of us didn't make it, that the other one would take care of the family.
Lambert knew that being a medic meant he'd be exposed, running around treating casualties. But first he had to get to the beach alive himself.
Because a German, you could see the bullets just like hail hitting the water.
And the instant the ramp at the front of the boat dropped, Lambert was wounded.
I had a bullet I don't know what it was, but it went through my right arm right here and shattered the bone.
But he drove forward, right into the water. There was nothing to do but go forward or die.
We went under the water. They had barbed wire. You had to try to get through that with mines tied to that. We had a lot of guys got tangled up there. A lot of underwater mines went off and killed some guys.
He got through that underwater nightmare to the one on the beach. A German machine gun crew on a hill had a clean shot down onto the section of sand Lambert and other soldiers were crawling onto.
Bullets were flying all over you. A wounded guy, you're trying to treat him, which was almost impossible. I had a couple of my men and myself trying to get these guys over behind that rock.
A big chunk of concrete on the beach, probably left over from German fortification construction.
These bodies that were dead would be washing in with the waves coming in. And then there were guys that were hit. You try to put a tourniquet on a guy, and the sand was wet. Everything he had on was wet. We were doing all we could there, but it was just an impossible situation.
Something massive hit his leg, opening it down to the bone. He put a tourniquet on, shot himself with morphine, and then went back into the water to pull out one soldier after another. Then came his third injury of the day. A landing craft dropped a ramp on him and a man he was saving, crushing part of Lambert's spine. He was eventually put on another landing craft with other wounded men, and as it churned away from the fighting, a doctor aboard spotted him.
He came over and looked at my dog, Ted's, and he said, we have another Lambert on here.
His brother's arm and leg had been mangled so badly the doctors were talking about amputating them. Both Lambert brothers were taken to an American field hospital in England for surgery.
And I don't know how long it was before they brought Bill out, but they put him in the cot next to me. And he looked over and he saw me and he said, what are you doing here? And I said, the same thing you are. And he said, well, gosh, what's mother going to think now? Because she had to notice as we were wounded in Africa, wounded in Sicily.
Doctors saved Bill Lambert's limbs, and his wounds eventually healed, though he needed several operations back in the U.S. After the war, Ray Lambert took classes at MIT on the GI Bill, and both he and his brother went on to found successful electrical contracting companies, becoming part of the fuel for America's post-war boom. Until Bill died 9 years ago, they and their families would vacation together. Now, at 98 years old, he's written a memoir of his war years, co-written with the man who helped write American Sniper. It's titled Every Man a Hero, a reference to all the medics in his unit. He agreed to write it, he said, partly because the values that held the country together seemed to be eroding.
Perhaps they should teach a little more in schools about World War II, just to let the young people know what that generation was willing to do, and how my generation loved the country and respected the flag and was willing to fight for our families and our country.
Over the years, Lambert has traveled back to Normandy more than half a dozen times and made friends in the area. Last year, a town above the beach dedicated a plaque with the names of the men in Lambert's unit of medics and bolted it onto the chunk of concrete where they sheltered the wounded. It's known as Ray's Rock. Now, as he heads back for what he says will be his last visit to Normandy, his publicist has asked him to promote his book there. Lambert will do his duty, as always.
You know, if you do a book, you've got to do interviews.
But he's not excited about that. He wants to spend time with other veterans and his friends in the village and lift one more glass of the region's distinctive apple brandy to life. He has surely earned it. Jay Price, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.